We begin in France this morning, where a frantic few hours of political manoeuvring lies ahead as parties continue to strike deals in an effort to block the far-right national rally from winning an overall majority in this Sunday's runoff elections. The parties have until 5 p.m. this evening Irish time to re-register for the second round. Official results from the first round of voting on Sunday showed the National Rally and its allies received 33% of the national vote, well ahead of the left-wing alliance New Popular Front on 28%, with President Emmanuel Macron's centrist bloc reduced to third place with 20% of the vote. Well, we're joined now from France by journalist John Litchfield. John, talk us through the process of how these political PACs work.
Well, I mean, the French parliamentary election system is arguably even more complex than the Irish one, and in the sense that in Ireland you have transferred votes, and there are transferred votes here, but you have to go out and vote again to transfer them in the second round. It isn't always the case, because sometimes there are, this time there are, of the 577 constituencies, over 300 have three-way battles in the second round. Unlike the presidential election, you can qualify in third place or even fourth place in some cases for the second round in parliamentary elections in France. So, as you say, a huge scramble is going on amongst the left and Macron centre to try and withdraw candidates who would then allow a straight fight against the far right in the second round and give a better chance of beating National Rally, Le Pen candidates all around the country. That's actually going quite well in some ways, because of the 306 three-way contests possible after last Sunday's first round of voting, there are only 126 that remain now. 180 centre or left candidates have already withdrawn, and not some of the remaining ones are crucial, some of them are less crucial. The problem is that the left is fairly united in saying everyone should vote against, even for Macron candidates, against the far right. Macron's own camp is divided. There are three sections to it, and Macron himself is saying, yes, pretty well everyone should vote against the far right for any left-wing candidate out there. But the other parts of it are saying, no, we're not going to vote for the more extreme parts of the left, La France Insoumise, France en Baud, of Jean-Luc Mélenchon, which is accused at its extremes of being anti-Semitic, of being a revolutionary, anti-democratic. So there is a split in the governing remaining governing coalition, and it could affect whether people go out and vote against the Front National, Rassemblement National on Sunday, unless there's a very clear signal coming from the centre and from the left. It's possible that people won't follow that advice and won't bother to turn out again to vote for candidates they don't particularly like against candidates they hate.
So divisions remain this morning, but given those withdrawals that you mentioned earlier, what's your assessment of the likelihood of the National Rally receiving an absolute majority on Sunday?
Earlier in the week, I was not in a minority, but I was fairly isolated in some ways in saying I didn't think the Le Pen party would win a clear majority on Sunday. I still believe that. I still think that they will fall short. They need 289 seats to have a clear majority in the National Assembly after Sunday. It's very, very difficult, as I was saying, to actually compute which way seats are going, and certainly not till the deadline tonight for final withdrawals or signing up for the second round. My sense is that despite the divisions in the central governing alliance, despite the divisions in Macron's camp, despite the fact that Macron seems to have lost really all authority, even over his own troops, there will be a strong feeling amongst people on the left and the centre that they must block the far right, and they must turn out in great numbers to do so this weekend. The other question is whether the far right voters who turned out in large numbers last weekend also turn out in such large numbers. It's a completely different election. It's not necessarily the same people or the same numbers of people who turn out, which is what makes the French system so strange and complicated compared to any other. So my feeling is the far right will fall short, maybe 10, 20 seats short of having an overall majority. What happens then is unclear. They've said they will not try and Jordan Bardella, Le Pen's number two, and the man who would be put forward as prime minister if they do win, has said, no, I will not try and form an administration unless I have a clear majority. He might try and get a few more allies from the centre-right, but I think they're very unlikely to change over, because the remaining centre-right people are those who have been adamantly against making deals with the far-right. I think it would destroy what reputation and what credibility they have if they did that. So if he sticks by his statement, which he made again last Sunday, that he's not going to try and run a government based on a minority or marginally less than a majority in the Assemblée Nationale, then we're in for a very, very confusing a couple of weeks, when Macron will have to try and decide what to do. I mean, there will be no clear majority for any party to govern in the National Assembly.
Well, we've heard a lot about President Macron's gamble not paying off, perhaps spectacularly not paying off. But is there any way, indeed, in which this could end up playing into his favour if, indeed, the far-right alliance does end up getting an absolute majority?
Well, this is that's an interesting question. I mean, there are people who say that France is such a volatile country, has this tradition of hating all its leaders very soon after it's elected them, that the only way to kind of burst the bubble of the far right, which has now reached such huge size, is to allow them to have a couple of years in power and prove how disastrously incompetent they are. And therefore, you can then return to something more like, in quotes, normal politics. I think that's a somewhat dangerous argument. I'm not sure it's one that Macron had in mind when he called this snap election. If you look at what happened in America, I mean, people thought that Trump would make a fool of himself. And in many ways, perhaps he did. But he's still on course to win again, and maybe this November. So it's you know, populist politicians tend to be a bit more shielded from the normal accusations of incompetence than mainstream politicians, it seems to me. So that's a dangerous argument. Whether it was a risk by Macron 3 weeks ago, clearly it was a gamble which failed. But, you know, I think it's important to say that Macron knew that he was going to be forced into an early election this autumn if he didn't have it this summer. It was probably a mistake to call it early. He thought he could catch the other parties on the hop. He caught his own parties on the hop instead. And, you know, the result has been pretty calamitous. Whether it would have been better for him to wait till September, October, when almost certainly he would have been forced into an election anyway, we will never know. But it was a gamble, but it was a kind of calculated gamble in that way, which went badly wrong.
Well, thanks, John. That was journalist John Litchfield speaking to us from France this morning. And just to add, yesterday on the programme, we said Marine Le Pen's father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, who was a founder of the National Front, was once a member of the Waffen-SS. It was, in fact, another leading member of the National Front who was in the Waffen-SS, but Jean-Marie Le Pen was not.